Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, Politics Ohio with Emily McCord, Bill Felker has this week's Poor Will's Almanac. Later in the program, Garrison Keillor up first. Muse Machine introduces kids of all ages to various forms of art, creativity, and artistic expression, and how these things can make a difference in their lives. In their 30th year of bringing young talent to the Dayton stage, Muse Machine takes on one of the most beloved musical fantasies of all time, The Wizard of Oz. Needless to say, the cast, orchestra, and crew, that's 130 kids, are excited about this year's production, and producer Doug Merck says they're getting some extra help this year.
We have an agreement with Dayton Public Schools to bring in some imported munchkins, if you will, which brings us an additional 100 munchkins throughout the different performances. So that makes a total of over 230 students in the performance.
That's a lot to deal with or contend with.
Yeah, it is. We're referring to it as Occupy Munchkin Land.
All right, so how's the show coming along? You're about a week out from hitting the stage.
That's right, we're in the studio, actually in the theater for the first time today. We start flying tomorrow with the monkeys and Dorothy. We're going to melt the witch for the first time tomorrow, so it's very exciting. We're working with the special effects. Yeah, everything's moving so quickly now. The kids are having a great time. The orchestra sounds amazing, so it's a fantastic time.
And how did you come to the decision to do The Wizard of Oz?
Well, we did a fairly depressing show last year with Into the Woods. And, you know, honestly, things seem so difficult generally, not just in our community, but across the country. And I think we felt like we needed a show that that was a little bit of a remedy for that. And Wizard of Oz is a show that reaches everyone. The message of going home again means something to everyone, not just in the context of the show, but I think it kind of means something to everyone about where they were when they watched Wizard of Oz, you know, at the television set with their parents or grandparents, whenever that is for virtually anyone who's alive today. And so I think the show speaks to all of us.
Let's talk about some of the leads that are involved with this year. What characteristics, what qualities and talents do they bring to the stage?
Well, it depends on which character we're talking about. You know, our Scarecrow is a great dancer. Our Lion sounds exactly like the Lion from the film. Dorothy has a beautiful voice and has to sing that song the way you want to hear that song sung. So what we're looking for in each of those characters is a particular attribute. And to be perfectly honest, this is a film that has so burned itself into each of our hearts that some of the decisions that we made are based on that film.
And I've seen some productions that do vary quite a bit from the film production. How close is this version?
Well, we go both ways. There are certain things you're going to see that are going to remind you very much of the film, but there are other things. There was a sequence that was cut from the film called the Jitterbug, and that is restored in our version. We are approaching the tornado differently than anyone we're aware of. We've gone out and filmed a version, which is a rather enormous production, actually, a green screen production of the tornado, which is unique to our version. The Wizard himself is a film production. There's a Return to Kansas film element that's new to our production. So you'll see a lot of things that have not been seen in The Wizard of Oz before. But those moments that are dearest to everyone, I think you'll remember them, just like you did in the film.
She's kind of a mutt. I mean,
dear to many kids who see The Wizard of Oz is, of course, Toto, played by a Cairn Terrier named Terry in the 1939 film. Starring in the role for Muse Machine is a very cute 10-year-old Border Terrier named Peggy. Susie Litke is her owner and trainer.
Peggy has no background in theater. She has performed one commercial in her lifetime. I will say she's been a pretty quick study, though I've been very happy with how she's progressed in the 4 days we've been doing it so far.
So she has worked with the kids?
Yes. She got mobbed by the munchkins as soon as we stepped off the elevator the first day. But everyone's been really great. I think she's getting used to having this many people and this much noise around her on stage.
How do you get her to stick to Dorothy throughout?
Well, the good thing about the way the show's set up is that she can either be in Dorothy's arms or on a leash for most of the time. A few times she does have to run on and off stage or run from one character to another character on stage. But so far, it's come off pretty well.
And how long have you been training dogs?
Peggy's 10, so pretty much since I've had her just doing basic obedience, I did teach a few classes for about 3 years, so off and on.
So you're excited for her debut on the stage?
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited. So it's been a lot of fun working with this group. I mean, I felt like I fit in right away. So it should be fun to see my dog out there, hopefully behaving well.
Someone who will not be behaving herself in Oz is Odette Gutierrez del Arroyo.
Well, stay away from her, or I'll stuff a mattress with you, Scarecrow. And you, Tin Man, I'll use you for a beehive.
I am 17 years old. I'm a senior at Beaver Creek High School. And I play the Wicked Witch of the West.
How is that role for you?
Well, it's been a big challenge, but in a good way. Like, it's really challenged my acting abilities, and I'm really focusing on taking the character to a deeper level. Like, I don't know, it's really hard being really mean to people, but it's really fun too, so I think it'll be a great role.
Is there anything different about the witch as you're portraying her as we see in the film?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I'm making her a little bit darker than in the film. In the film, she's just kind of the villain. But I'm trying, at least, to portray her as more an emotional character than in the film.
And tell us a little bit about your history with Muse Machine.
Well, I'm military, so I moved to Ohio sophomore year. And I was sitting in English class, and my English teacher at the time was an advisor. And she was like, oh, you guys should try out for the Muse show. And I had no idea what it was. But then I grabbed a paper and I was like, this sounds so cool. So I auditioned and I did Singing in the Rain. Then I did Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, the summer show. Then I did Into the Woods and Tonight, the summer show. And then this is my, I think it's fifth production with Muse Machine.
So just moving to Ohio and just finding Muse Machine, what has that meant for you?
Oh my goodness, it's meant so much. Like, I can't even explain it in words, but I can try. Muse Machine is just, most of us can... If you talk to any student that's been in Muse Machine, it's like a big family. And being a new student, it was really hard at such a big school like Beaver Creek High School. But I found my place here, and now it's something that I'm hoping to incorporate in my future. I want to do business with a minor in arts administration just because I love this environment and I'd never want to leave it. So it's been a big part of my life.
Something with poison in it, I think. With poison in it. But attractive to the eye, and soothing to the smell. Puppies!
There's something, I guess, as a performer, you can be this person, but as soon as you hit that stage, you transform. You become who you need to be to get things done, and the stage is where we play. Like, that is so much fun for us, and... Like I said, you could meet someone and they can be this type of person, like really giggly, and then they go on stage and they completely transform into someone else, and it's just amazing. There's no way to explain it. It's just a great feeling. It's a lot of fun. And it's an honor to be able to perform at the Victoria Theater.
Here's Scarecrow. Wanna play ball? Oh, basketball!
My name is Cameron Hell Elliott. I am 17 years old. I go to Fairborn High School. I'm a senior, and I play Professor Marvel and the Wizard, as well as the Guard. I've been involved with Muse Machine since my 8th grade year. This is my 9th show, including 4 summer shows, and this is my 5th winter show. I have always been involved in arts since I was younger. I mean, I did the cheesy elementary school musicals that they always had, and it was an interesting experience for me. And then I watched my mom do shows, as well as, you know, hear about my father doing shows like in high school. I mean, just, you know, something to pass the time. And then my brother was taking Wright State classes during his junior and senior year of high school, and he came to me and he said, you know, I was passing through the Creative Arts Building, and they said that there were posters about auditions for ragtime for little kids. Do you want to try out for it? I was like, where did this come from? And he's just like, I was just asking. So I said, sure, why not? So I went and I sang Happy Birthday because I didn't know what I was doing at all. You know, now I come to auditions with monologues and songs, you know, in a binder. But I hear I'm singing Happy Birthday, not knowing what I'm doing, and I get the role. And it was an experience that changed my entire perspective on things and really made me understand that I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
from my 8th grade year till now, the leads have all been fantastic. I mean, Muse Machine really picks everyone right. They're all so talented and so fun to be around and just work with, and you're always accepted, no matter who it is. And then, you know, got to give a shout-out to the Little Munchkins. They are phenomenal at what they do. They're so tiny, and you think, you know, they're just there, and they don't know what they're doing, but then they go up there, and they sing, and you're just like, blown away by how much talent is packed in such tiny bodies. There are some really cool kids in there. I mean, I have a couple little friends from, I used to work at Bounce U, and there's, you know, I saw a bunch of them every now and again, and they're so good. I can't wait to come back after I've graduated from college, you know, just to come see what it's like, you know, years from now, and see them all grown up and be like, wow, this, you are so much better than you were, you know, way back when, but you were still amazing. And it's just going to be great to see the transformation.
All right, so are you nervous about the performance?
A little bit, you know, but there's always those little butterflies in your stomach that you get before any show. But, you know, I've just been here so many times that it's just fun to know that in a week I'm going to be on the Victoria stage.
I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard. I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will save?
Then I'm sure to get a brain, a heart,
a home.
Deny me.
We
are the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a whiz of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a whiz there was, a Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
The Muse Machine takes you to see The Wizard of Oz at the Victoria Theater, January 12th through the 15th. Find out more at musemachine.com or victoriatheater.org.
This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac for the first week of deep winter. The progress of deep winter can be gauged by whatever milestones you select. You can track storms and snow, or the time and frequency of birdsong, the state of last year's plants, or the steady shifting of the sun and stars. Emotions are slow and easily measured. This is a simple place to begin to follow the year. In the early evening sky, Orion now dominates the southeast. Sirius, the dog star, is at his heels. The Pleiades are overhead. Perseus follows Andromeda and the Great Square into the west. The Big Dipper begins to circle back out of the northeast, and when its pointers to the North Star are positioned directly north and south at 9 o'clock in the evening, it will be middle spring. 6 major cold fronts came across the country in December, and January will have about half a dozen more. February will bring 3 or 4, and then early spring will start to set the snowdrops and the aconites and the crocus in motion, cracking pussy willows too. Crows often call before dawn in January. They are joined by the tufted titmice as winter deepens. By the end of January, cardinals begin their mating calls, then doves, then blue jays. Red-winged blackbirds arrive with maple syrup time, and then the coldest time of year is almost gone. This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. I'll be back again next week with notes for the second week of deep winter. In the meantime, watch for moss lengthening on a sheltered log, measuring the approach of April.
Bill Felker contributes to newspapers nationwide, including the Yellow Springs News. Bill resides in Yellow Springs. Poor Will's Almanac is also available as a podcast at WYSO.org.
Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord, and today I'm speaking with Jessica Werman. She reports for the Columbus Dispatch, and her stories appear in the Dayton Daily News and the Springfield News Sun. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we now have an Ohio primary set. We have new congressional maps, and I want to talk about the 10th Congressional District. First, what does it look like as compared to what it was?
So the original proposed congressional district would have included parts of the districts currently held by Mike Turner from Centerville and Steve Austria from Beaver Creek. Both are Republicans. That original map had all or parts of Montgomery, Greene, Fayette, Pickaway, and Fairfield counties. There was a lot of turmoil over this map, and in mid-December, the legislature, the Ohio General Assembly, finally agreed to a map, but it was a new map. So this new map creates a new 10th congressional district, but that district includes all of Montgomery County, all of Greene County, and then part of Fayette County.
So it looked for a while like there was going to be a big race between Congressmen Mike Turner and Steve Austria. Last week, Austria announced that he was out of the race. What's the outlook then for Mike Turner?
Basically, the news for Greene County would be that the likely winner of this race, based on previous election results, would be Mike Turner. It was drawn as a district that has a Republican advantage, so less of a Republican advantage, some might say, than the previous map had had. As you mentioned, Steve Austria looked at the map, sort of looked at the terrain, and realized that he had lost a lot of voters from that original map. So he had a couple of options. One of his options would have been, obviously, to run against Mike Turner. Another option would have been to run against Steve Stivers of Franklin County, because a lot of Steve Stivers' district is now currently Austria country. And I do have to emphasize, some of the media reports have said that he's retiring, but he's 53 years old. I'm sure we probably haven't seen the last of him. He may be running again at some point for some election. So I would be careful about saying that he is retiring. The third option, if he had wanted to do so, would have been to go for more of a Dayton area district and run in the 8th Congressional District, which is held by John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, because Austria currently represents Clark County, and Clark County will be moving to John Boehner's district under these new districts.
So Clark County is seeing some changes because of the redistricting as well.
Clark County has seen a ton of changes, and it's been kind of fascinating to watch the different maps come out and see where Clark County shows up. Now, the final version of that map puts Clark County in John Boehner's district, the 8th Congressional District. Clark County is an interesting county in Ohio. It's a bit of a swing county. So Clark and Stark County are the counties, if you're into political nerdiness, as I am, that have kind of swapped in terms of being Republican or Democrat during prior presidential years.
Now, you'd mentioned when we're talking about the 10th Congressional District, again, that's the one that's going to cover Montgomery and Greene County, that it is more leaning Republican. Now, this week we had a Democrat enter the race, Sharon Newhart.
Yes.
And she says one of the reasons she joined is that she feels that this district is much more competitive. Does she have a point there?
She does have a point. Now, while it still has a slight Republican advantage, it's less of a Republican advantage than it had in its prior iteration. You know, if you look at this district, Montgomery County is the most populous district. It's got 535,000 people. You know, Greene County, obviously 161,000 people, and Fayette County is 29,000 people. In the last election, Mike Turner did fine in Montgomery County. And I have to also point out that Mike Turner doesn't represent currently all of Montgomery County. Under the new district, he would represent all of Montgomery County. He did fine in 2010 against Democrat Joe Roberts. He had 102,000 votes compared to Joe Roberts' 57,000 votes. But if you look at presidential years, in 2008, President Obama won Montgomery County with 51% of the vote to McCain's 46.8% of the vote. So the county, Montgomery County, is such a big chunk of this new district that Newhart may have a point. It's slightly less Republican, but I'm sure Mike Turner would say that it's still got a Republican advantage.
How does the 10th Congressional District play into other national races, the Senate race, the presidential race?
You know, there are always a lot of factors that are at play in terms of these races. Obviously, this race will occur at the same time that one of our U.S. Senators, Sherrod Brown, is up for re-election. Also on the ticket will be President Obama and whoever the Republican candidate turns out to be. Coattails do have an influence. But it's kind of unclear at this point sort of what influence they'll have in this next race.
You can see the latest congressional district map on our website, wyso.org. I've been speaking with Jessica Werman. She reports for the Columbus Dispatch, and her stories appear in the Dayton Daily News and Springfield News Sun. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this week's edition of WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. Thanks to all of our guests, and thanks to Bob Marley for singing Rat Race. I'm Jerry Kenny. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 10:30 for WYSO Weekend. Up next on WYSO, The Book Nook.